When it comes to picking up a microphone, walking on a stage, and making people laugh, there is no one more adept than Joan Rivers. She's a force of nature, one of the hardest working celebrities in the world, an entertainment legend. She's an internationally renowned comedian, Tony-nominated actress, best-selling author, television host, columnist, and the list goes on. With four decades in the business, she's created her own brand of irreverent and unconventional comedy, which will be on display this Friday night, May 10th, at the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. It's a great pleasure. It's a great
pleasure.
Lovely
to talk to you. That's some long introduction.
Well, you deserve it.
Well, it's been a long career.
It's been a great... When you look at it, do you think of now as a great time in your career?
Oh, yeah. I always live in the moments. Very shallow, yes. And it's a great time. I have Fashion Police on Friday nights on E, and then we have Joan and Melissa, our reality show on We, which is going to the fourth season. And then I have now on the internet a thing called InBedWithJoan.com, which has just taken off because the internet, you could say anything.
Yeah, and you like
that.
So
it's a great moment. It's a great. And then I have QVC, and then I have concerts, which I love. So I'm busy, thank God, because I have no life. I have no social life.
Well, that's enough of a life, isn't that? I mean, that's enough of a life.
I'm not complaining. I see pictures of my friends and go, yeah, I remember them. Oh, yeah, I saw her Thanksgiving. She's a friend.
when you are doing something, when you are on stage, when you're doing a show, when you're at QVC and you are being Joan Rivers, is that the highlight? I mean, that's what it's all leading to in one way or the other, isn't it?
Well, it's all fun. I love, it sounds so stupid, but I laugh at everything. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. No matter how bad the thing is, within 2 minutes, I will do a joke about it. You know what I mean? And so, my whole life has been, I've been very lucky because I can laugh at things and make a living, and that's terrific.
I was looking at the internet the other day, and there was some story, and I don't even remember who it was about. You said something about somebody, and they were upset, and I just thought,
that could be anybody.
Exactly. How many times in this woman's career has that happened to you? When did you stop caring about that?
Well, I stopped. You know, I always, from the beginning, always said, treat your audience on television as if they're your friends and say the truth. And a lot of people won't like you, but a lot of people go, yeah, that's right. And so I've never really cared. I don't think I've ever really hurt anybody because the people I talk about are making $20 million a year. So, you know, I don't like Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm sure she's going to just cry herself to sleep tonight, but she'll have 12 servants to wipe the tears.
The most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, yeah. Could you believe that one? Gwyneth Paltrow, pretty girl, very pretty girl, but not the most beautiful woman in the world. Unless it was Stevie Wonder and Helen Keller that voted. There's no way in hell.
So People Magazine perhaps got that one wrong.
I think People Magazine got that very wrong.
I thought, come to think of it, I think the comment I was thinking of was about Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, Melissa McCarthy, who, by the way, I hear is adorable.
Yes.
I've never met her. I think she is so funny. But she's chubby. And so, of course, you do on Fashion Police, you know, when she comes out and she doesn't look good. Our job at Fashion Police is to tell the truth about what people are wearing and how they look. And she got upset. Adele was the one that really got upset.
Yeah.
You know, when we dared to say on Fashion Police that her big song is Rolling in the Deep Fried Chicken. And they called up and they said she's very upset in her castle in Scotland.
Do you think someone can
she
look?
Should stop eating the haggis corn.
Do you think someone can be heavy and look good on the red carpet?
Oh, of course, and you see them all the time, and they'll look amazing. You know, Judi Dench, who is certainly not that slim anymore, looks wonderful that way. Della Reese, and we're going back a while, but was a very large woman. She looked terrific. I mean, of course, it's just when you different women, you look good in different kinds of clothing, and you should just know what you're wearing. That's all. Look at your body and figure it out.
When you started that whole thing of summing up people and how they looked on the red carpet and really starting that whole phenomenon, did it surprise you how it took off, or did it make perfect sense considering that's pretty much what everyone was doing home anyway?
It's a great question, and nobody's ever asked that, by the way. It astonished us. Melissa and I, my daughter and I, we did it because nobody else wanted to do it. There was no such thing as red carpet interviews. And we did it for E! And we thought nobody would watch. And then the New York Times came out and said, this is very shallow and nobody cares what the stars are wearing and blah, blah, blah. Well, every woman cares. The men watch the red carpet to see who's looking hot and who's sexy and who's, you know, screwable. And the women watch to see what the women are wearing. And it took off like a house of fire. Everybody does the red carpet now.
And you get to be a part of that with Fashion Police doing pretty much the same thing now.
Yeah, what we do is I don't do the red carpet anymore because you can't lie to somebody's face and say, gee, you look beautiful, and the next day say, I hate her dress. I let the others in Fashion Police do the red carpet, and I just do the commentating the next day about what I thought. And it's been working out great. We're in our third year there, too.
When you think of the work that you have done over the years, of whether it be your own talk show or whether it be doing daytime or nighttime or whatever project it is, it's always been suited around you and your sensibility. And I would think that would there's very much that your brand of humor.
Well, you know, I always figure, Bill Cosby, who's a wonderful man, once said to me, don't worry, if 1% of the population likes you, you'll fill theaters for the rest of your life.
Right.
So he said, always tell the truth. And so all my, what you'll see again in my live show is my point of view about everything. And it's always worked from the very beginning. I think I'm answering the question. I never worried. I always felt, as I said, that I was talking to my friends, and this is what I would say to my friends.
And when I say a brand, I mean, that's the brand of going out and saying what you think. I mentioned this word in the introduction. There's an irreverence. There is an outrageousness that we expect when we see Joan
and
Rivers.
And a truth.
Yes.
And we are in such a society who everything is so damn politically correct. It is so boring. You know, I don't even know if you're allowed to say Indian anymore or Native American. Is Chinese correct? Is it Asian? We've reached the point where it's insane. Absolutely insane.
So when did you, again, stop worrying about it? In the sense of, I'm just going to say what I say.
When someone said to me, you can't call them fat, you have to call them horizontally challenged. And I said, horizontally challenged to me means Paris Hilton, flat in the back. That's horizontally challenged. I don't know what you all are talking about. And I've just stopped caring.
Yeah.
So don't come to the concert if you're going to be upset.
We've talked a number of times at different projects that you've done. And I get the idea that that you're not overly, you said it earlier on, that you're always living in the moment, that you're not overly nostalgic. Like, you don't look back and think of various aspects of your career and say, oh, I wish it was like that.
Oh, no. I always like the present. I'm always very excited and very happy with exactly what's happening at the moment or what I want to do next, I have like ADD, I guess. But no, people say, oh, I had a friend, oh, I'd love to be 35 again. You go, are you kidding? You hated your husband. You were stuck with four kids in the house. I remember the real 35. Not what you think was 35.
When a young comedian comes up to you and gives you a compliment for what you have achieved, how do you respond to that? How do you take that?
Oh, are you kidding? That means they want to put you on the shelf. I always say, wait, I could still take you with one hand behind my back.
So you don't see like the reverence that we would have?
Oh, no.
No.
No, it's so ridiculous. I'm right out there, you know, I'm right out there doing my work. And I really do believe that because of this freedom which does come with age, I think I'm working the best I ever work, because I don't care anymore. And as I say to the audience, what are you going to do? Fire me? I've been fired. You know, spit on me? I've been spit on.
So
there's nothing you can do that's going to upset me.
When you were coming up, was there someone that you looked up to? Was there someone that paved the way to you, for you, in the sense of I can do this, or I feel comfortable doing this because I've watched this person work?
No, I never had a mentor. I never had anybody. I saw Lenny Bruce very early on. I was still in college. I didn't even know what I was going to do. I wanted to be an actress, an actress, an actress. I remember just thinking, he's saying what I'm thinking. So I always go back to that, even without knowing that what he was doing, that he was just telling the truth as he saw it. And that's exactly what I do on stage. Now, it may be very warped, but it is, I really do. That's all I can. I talk about hating children in planes, and you hear gasps. A child in a plane, I'm sorry. No. I look for the terrorists to help me.
Oh.
When the parents pay no attention, because I fly back and forth.
Yes.
Children on planes, parents take care of them. It's that simple. And when they don't, it's outrageous. I hate old people in front of me online when they forget who they are and they're writing a check. And I'm double parked. You know. Now, I'm old. All that kind of stuff. And we talk about it all in the show. That's the way I feel about a lot of stuff.
I was watching you recently.
Oh, I think only one last thing. I really think, I truly believe this. This will stop people from coming to see me. Only attractive people should be allowed to breed.
Well, there you go.
There you go. And people get very offended. And I always say, look to your right and look to your left. You don't have to point.
And
you want to see these people reproduce? No.
And you've worked very hard to be attractive now, right?
Oh, of course. Our society is built on being attractive. At this age, nobody cares. Maybe, you know, like the Undertaker will be a little kinder to me. But everybody wants to be attractive. And it's also with clothing, which is why on Fashion Week, we only laugh about people that really can afford to not wear the dress again, and the dress was given to them to start with, you know. And nobody wants to leave the house and say, boy, did I work hard today to look ugly. Everybody wants to look good. Even a woman my age wants to look good.
I saw you recently on David Letterman, and it's wonderful that you're on that show now.
Well, he's so smart.
The two of you, of just two great show business veterans talking, is one of the great moments on television. That's lovely.
And he's so smart. And I love to make him laugh, because he doesn't laugh that much. And I love when I really get him going. That makes me very happy.
Do you go with the principle that most comedians are miserable?
I think most comedians, including me, are very angry.
Yeah.
Very angry. And the minute they stop being angry and begin to enjoy their lives, they're no longer that funny. Jay Leno.
Yeah, he's not. I don't find him funny.
I don't find him particularly funny. I think Fallon is going to be just brilliant.
Yeah.
I think he's really... He's got a lot of what Johnny Carson had. And when they say, what does that mean? I don't know. There's just a charm, and there's a fan element. Jimmy Fallon is excited when somebody comes on. And it's very endearing, very nice.
And for you, when you think of making someone laugh, and even if it comes from a place of anger, that's a good place to direct it in. I mean, obviously, it's better than an alternative, I would think.
Well, you know, if you laugh, nothing really matters. That's why anyone that's really, really angry and upset with you, take them out to dinner and start laughing, and that's the end. You know, things that really bothered you a year ago, do they really bother you now? No, they're stupid now.
Well, it's a good way to think about it.
So, as I said, I laugh, and I get through everything with laughter. That's the only way I can get through.
It'll be a wonderful thing to celebrate laughter on Friday night, May 10th, at the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Joan Rivers, you're one of my favorite human beings on earth. I thank you so much.
That's so nice and so sweet. And please come back if you're coming and say hello.
I would love to. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great honor
Bye-bye.
To speak with you. Thank you. Joan Rivers will be on stage this Friday night, May 10th at the Colonial in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. You can find out more at www.berkshiretheatergroup.org. BerkshireTheaterGroup.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.